My friends in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. I would like to consider with you the words this morning from the third chapter of Genesis, which records for us the temptation of Adam and Eve, our first parents in paradise, their succumbing to that temptation and the consequences of that. We read at the end of the chapter these words. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is God's word. Please be seated. Okay, Christmas is now long finished. Epiphany is over, and it's Lent. The question is, are you going to let Lent have its way with you? I love Lent for a lot of reasons. I love it because of its hymns. I love the reflective tone of Lent. I love the scripture readings. And I love the way Lent begins. Ash Wednesday, with a smudge of ashes on the forehead and the sign of the cross. Ash Wednesday is one of those very few Christian holy days that the world has not kidnapped and from us and brainwashed into a child that the church hardly recognizes anymore as her own, like the world has done with Christmas and Easter. After all, I suppose Ash Wednesday and then the season of Lent are not exactly the stuff that makes for great marketing potential. A little vial of ashes just doesn't seem like it's going to sell as well as those pretty little jars of green and red Christmas sugar. And sackcloth just doesn't have the market appeal that of all of these costumes that we buy for All Hallows Eve. So let's thank God that the world has not kidnapped Ash Wednesday and Lent from us. As we now take a glance over our shoulders to a garden called Eden, and to the ashes of paradise lost. By the sweat of your face, God told Adam, you shall eat your bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Adam to ashes, Eve to dust, our first parents now the stuff beneath our feet. The stuff we turn over in our garden with our tiller. Downward they fell from the mountaintop paradise that had been ours into the deep, dark valley of sin and pain and sorrow and hardship and ultimately death. Oh, Adam, what have you done? Oh, Eve, why did you do it? The Father had created you in His own image. Was there something about that that wasn't good enough for you? He gave you bodies and souls, wisdom and beauty, innocence and purity. Were these gifts not up to par? He gave you one another, man to woman and woman to man, to live an unending honeymoon of wedded bliss. What, was your trophy spouse, your perfect marriage, not quite perfect enough for you? In love, the Father planted a garden for you and put you into a paradise and gave you every tree of that garden for food except one. What, did you think him stingy? Adam, what have you done? Eve, why did you do it? And then while we are asking those difficult questions of Adam and Eve, how about let us ask us some difficult questions of ourselves, O sons of Adam, O daughters of Eve? You know, at least Eve took that fruit, thinking that she was going to gain some wisdom. But we, in our foolhardiness, we grasp and we strive and we live our lives grasping for trivial things that money can buy, that we know moth and rust are going to destroy, or thieves will break into steel, and fires will destroy, or ultimately we're going to have to virtually give away at a garage sale. At least the fruit that caught Eve's eye was a delight to the eyes. But our eyes are captivated by things that are dog ugly, like pornography, a taste for revenge as we bite into each other, ears that are eager to lick up a juicy story about somebody, and all of the garbage that is produced for TV that we go ahead and watch anyway. Yes, Adam failed in his husbandly duties to his wife. But what do we, the sons of Adam, do? Not only do we fail our wives, we actively make life miserable for them by treating them as though they are some kind of a subject of ours. We've out-Adamed Adam. We're even worse than Eve. And now here we are, exiled from paradise, east of Eden, living in this valley of shadow of death. And here we are left to sing this little ditty. Adam and Eve went up a hill to fetch a pail of poison. Down they fell and humored hell, and we've come tumbling after. Repent, therefore. And that's Lent. Repent! And until you do so, Lent has not had its way with you. Repent, for as we said on Ash Wednesday, you are dust, and you are going to return to the dust one day. And if before you return to the dust, you don't receive the grace of Jesus Christ, you will be eating dust forever with that ancient serpent. Return, O sons of Adam. Come back, you daughters of Eve. Come back to the God who formed you and who breathed His life and His Spirit into you. Return to the Father who stands at the window daily, gazing out, eagerly waiting for you, His prodigal children, to return home to Him from the pigsty. Come back to the garden, the paradise that has been prepared for you and is still being kept for you. And do not be afraid of the anger of God who exiled you from this garden in the first place. Now His anger has been spent upon His only beloved Son. Jesus Christ is the second Adam who came in our place, as we read in the Gospel reading, to resist all of the temptations that we couldn't resist and that our first parents couldn't resist. And then to take all of the world's guilt upon His own innocent flesh and to bear the full wrath of God for every crime, every ill thought, every word I've misspoken, and paid that awful debt. Don't be afraid of the wrath of God. And do not fear the cherubim who were posted at the garden entrance with those flashing, flaming swords. Do not fear them, for now they have hammered those swords into trumpets, announcing your return from the exile, as the church sings with Easter joy. Oh, where is your sting, death? We fear you no more. Christ rose, and now open is fair Eden's door. The way has been opened up again, back to the tree of life. Don't be afraid of the cherubim and their flaming swords. And do not fear the ancient serpent who beguiled Eve and defiled Adam, who sank his fangs so deeply into our humanity that his poison still courses through our veins. Do not fear him, for the God of peace, Scripture says, will soon crush Satan's head under your feet. Don't be afraid of him, because indeed your Savior, the woman's seed, has already won the victory over that slithering devil. In a forgiving tide of His blood, He took away all of our sins, just washed them away, and at the same time took away Satan's ability to accuse us of anything. And then at the empty tomb, He took the next step and He robbed death of its victory, and thus has utterly crushed the skull of that ancient foe. So in Christ, your exile from Eden has come to an end. Today you shall be with Jesus in paradise. Indeed, I think we can say you've already entered paradise long ago because you were crucified with Jesus Christ, just as surely as that thief on the cross next to him, except that you were crucified in your baptism. Because Paul says that in baptism you are crucified with Christ. Those droplets of baptismal water were in fact liquid nails that pinned you to the cross with Jesus Christ, so that as he died to sin, you also died to sin. And now, in answer to the dying thief's prayer, which was a prayer he spoke really on behalf of all of us, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now we know that our Savior does remember us as he comes into his kingdom. A man cannot forget his own body. You can't forget your hands and your feet and your arms and legs. And is that not what you are? For you are all the body of Christ and individually members of it. He will not forget you when he comes into his kingdom. So kiss the valley of death and sin goodbye. Wipe its mud off of your feet and step once more into the garden where God himself has called it home. And where is that garden? Where is this Eden where we may eat once again of the tree of life? Guess what, folks? You're here. It's this. It's the body of Jesus Christ. It's his church. Here is Eden, the church of Christ. You have truly found your way home now from the exile. Here, God has prepared a table for you beneath the branches of the tree of life, and now invites you to eat of that tree. As you come here and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and that full assurance that you are forgiven, that all is well between you and heaven again. And here all of the fruits of Christ's atoning sacrifice are shared in rich abundance. The joy of our salvation, the peace that is beyond understanding, the hope that anchors our souls, and the love that changes us inside until we reflect Jesus Christ on the outside. And so by the sweat of his face, as a drops of blood, the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, has earned for you a place in paradise. He earned your way back into paradise and into God's presence, which you once feared and from which you once fled. But we fear it no more. We are at peace with God. He crushed the head of the serpent, and he instructed his angels to put away their swords and instead to come and announce good news. A Savior is born to you, who is Christ the Lord. In pure and perfect love, he made everything ready for you, his beloved Eve, his bride, the church. So welcome back. Welcome back from the exile, you daughters of Eve, you sons of Adam. Welcome back to the Garden of Eden. In the name of our Savior, amen. May the peace of Christ that is beyond understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.